turns again. And so, Father, we come before you with great confidence, knowing that you are merciful, a Father of mercies, God of all comfort. And we know that you hear our prayers and you bid us come to you in prayer. And we do so faithfully and boldly. We raise up the prayer requests that were mentioned to you. For those in the church who require healing and comfort, we ask that you would please intercede there and undertake for each one according to their needs. And Lord, for the prayer requests that are on your people's heart, that you know, the groanings, the inner groanings that are too deep for words, we ask that you would intercede according to each one's needs. Father, we do pray for the morning worship service now. We pray that you would be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Pray that your word would go out boldly and that those of us who hear it would be transformed, renewed, that we would submit ourselves to it, and Lord, that you would have your working power in our hearts to conform us to the image of your Son. Lord, reveal more about yourself to us, your goodness, your holiness, your righteousness, your mercy, and your justice. Help us to be more enthralled and in love with Christ, who he is and what he's done for us, not with the cares and pleasures of this world that pass away. Father, we pray for the offering that's about to be given, that those who give would give joyfully and cheerfully, and that what is given would be used for your glory and the advancement of your kingdom. In all things, Lord, we ask that you would be, you would receive honor and glory, and we do pray all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Thank you, everyone. Well, our final hymn before the message today is number 449, To God Be the Glory. And can we all stand and we will do all three verses of that hymn.
The offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great now rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done.
Wonderful. Thanks, everyone. You may be seated. Children, you can now be dismissed to Sunday church, and we'll have the message. Thank you, Pastor.
Psalm 19 today. I'm not really going to read through the passage because we're going to end up going through it in just a moment. But I am waiting. My first slide this morning says, don't give up. And underneath it, it says, quit ye like men. 1 Corinthians 16:13. And I don't know what kind of New Year's resolutions you may have made, or if you did. It's no stress with me if you did or you didn't. But I was at the gym this week. I go to the gym each morning about 5-something to try to get myself better in shape. And there's a guy there who's 87 years old, turned 87 years old on Friday. And so the reason I say don't give up, if he can be in the gym every morning at 5 a.m. with me, I reckon each of us can, whatever the Lord's working in our heart, to be more like him. I reckon we could. I was just amazed. 87 years old and still going strong. Our memory verse this month is Psalm 19, verse 14. And if you'll look at that verse with me, in the verse, actually, it says in Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now this verse, how many of you say a quick prayer throughout your day? Just in the middle of whatever, you'll ask the Lord for some particular type of help. Well, Psalm 19, verse 14, our verse of the month, it's a prayer. And it is we'll go through the outline here. The setting of this verse, it's the last verse of Psalm 14. It's written by David, the great psalmist of Israel. And it's a prayer. And what kind of things do we pray about? Most of us don't just pray about things just randomly. We pray because there's a particular need. It's something that we want to praise the Lord for, or we're wanting to ask, Lord, will you please help me with this? And this is something that I think each one of us needs help with. In fact, just another short prayer. It says, the Lord bless thee, the Lord keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. So Moses praying on that for others. But for ourselves, I reckon this is a fitting verse because I think it's something that we oftentimes might have problems with the words that come out of our mouth and the things that we meditate on. James in chapter 3, now he goes through a whole beautiful list of things about the dangers of the tongue, but he says this, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, a spiritually mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body. It takes great discipline to watch what you say. Not just when others are around, but just in general. This verse is one of those verses that is just amazing. It says then, the verse 8, but the tongue no man can tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And the stage of this verse is basically the first 13 verses of chapter 19. And these first 13 verses, they're amazing in that they are also about speech, just silent speech. Now, do you remember picture books when you were a kid? They don't have very many words in them, but they're full of pictures. And you learn the story by looking at the pictures. Well, Psalm 19 begins as a simple. He starts with, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, the heaven, that's the other word for heaven, showeth forth his handiwork. It shows God's hand in his creation. You look up at the stars, the moon, and everything, and it's like it's screaming silently at us, hey, believe in God, trust him, he's in control. He is good. In fact, I read yesterday where the fact that the earth is rotating at like 1,600 kilometers an hour. 1,600 kilometers an hour, the earth is rotating. And if it were to, just for some reason, randomly stop, which it won't because he's in control of it all, if it were to stop, that would send all of us. Now, we don't feel it. I mean, I'm not holding on. But if it were to stop spinning at 1,600 kilometers an hour, we would all shoot forward. The writer said at 1,670 kilometers per hour. That would hurt. So the fact that the Lord, in his wonders, in his amazement, he's creation is just, hey, look how amazing God is. Yet, when you look up at the stars, we look at them and we say, man, that's beautiful. We don't hear necessarily that they're saying that, but that's what they're saying. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. It's like the baton. In races where they have a baton, day finishes its day. It gets done with its day and night. It gets done with its 24-hour period, and it hands it over to the next day. And as it's saying that, and as it's doing that, it's saying, wow, God is great. God was great yesterday. He was great on my watch. He'll be great on your watch too. Just watch. All of creation is screaming how amazing, how wonderful God is. Though, without words, it's speaking. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Everyone can look up and see the wonder of God's creation in the skies. Their line has gone out through the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. We depend on the sun, but one day we won't need the sun, Revelation tells us. Verse 5, which is a bridegroom cometh out of the chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. The sun, it comes up every morning. I realize we have cloudy mornings, and I realize coming up is not necessarily the scientific way of saying it, but it comes up every morning, and it's saying, hello, I'm on sight, just like God said for me to be. We don't have to worry about him saying, I'm going to take the day off today. He's always there, even behind the clouds. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So the first silent speech we have is from the planets, the creation, the moon, the stars, God's creation. It's screaming at us that we need to follow the Lord, that we can trust the Lord with our daily lives. Beginning in verse number 7, though, he switches to something else that speaks wonders of who God is. It doesn't talk out loud, though. It's his word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And by the way, the Word of God is so important in our lives. The Word of God is so important. It's what's going to change us. If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as Savior, may I ask you to not say, okay, I got to do this better, I got to do this better, I got to do this better, I got to do this better. You give the Lord Jesus your heart. He will change you. He will change you. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. He has the strength to do that. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. His word strengthens, his word corrects, his word guides us. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And by the way, we've had a change in use for God's name. By the way, this psalm has God's name in it, it referred to like 12 times. So this psalm is completely about the Lord. It's the creation is saying, hey, God is great. His word is saying, you need to follow him. You need to trust him. So it started with the name God, which means the all-powerful creator, the self-existent one. And now he's moved to the word Lord, which gives the idea of he who's willing to have a relationship with us. the God who can be known. He's not just a God way out there. He's a God that wants to be known by us. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. He's talking about God's word. And then he tells us some things about what God's word does. He says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. So our being willing to let the Lord tell us what to do, to change, to do whatever he's asked us to do, it's worth it. Verse 12 says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Lord, work on those things that no one else sees. Verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. So this was really a prayer as well. But then in verse 14, he finishes this chapter. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So the sequence in this verse, getting into the verse a little bit now. The sequence of this verse, he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Now, oftentimes when we think about words and motives and meditations and what we're thinking, We think the more important part is the what Jesus says, everything that comes out is because it's on the inside. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. One writer said this, you know, when we say something mean or when we say something we shouldn't have said, we shouldn't have said, I didn't mean to say that. We maybe should say, I didn't mean for you to hear me say that. Because it's in our hearts in the first place. It's us. But here, he doesn't talk about the motive. He doesn't talk about what's going on inside. He talks about the words of our mouth. How many of us have ever spoken before we've thought? How many of us have ever said something and just 5 seconds later, you think to yourself, you know what? Wished I could take that one back. I think he put the fact that the words of my mouth, because we often do, we can say something just off the cuff. Then if we had it to do over again, I mean, you don't think about, like, can you guys imagine me up here preaching and me saying, well, you don't want to think about the word next. Can I say next? Next, and then I'm going to think about work, and then I'm going to think about, if I were to think about the next word I'm going to say, if I were to just literally think about every word before I say it, you guys would say, ugh. You know what, we're just people. And the words that come out of our mouth, they do matter. In fact, Psalm 139 says, there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Lord, there's not one thing that I say that you don't know everything about it. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You can really encourage somebody with your words, or you can really hurt someone with your words. Now, may I say, with being really hurt, a guy wrote a book and he entitled it Bait. And you got to be careful about letting something that someone said to you take you away. Well, I'm just totally offended by God. I'm never going to believe in Him again. Well, yeah, they shouldn't have said that. But you're still responsible for your relationship with God. So, yeah, people say things, people do things that they shouldn't do, but don't take that bait. Don't take that bait from Satan that says, you know what, if I can get this person sidetracked on something that someone said. But we really can encourage others with what we say. And we really can hurt others with what we say. Matthew 12:36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." The word idle there gives the idea of careless, of just every word that comes. So he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." So what is the words? What kind of words is it that the Lord hears? Well, some descriptions of words used in Scripture. First, we're going to do destroying words, or words that aren't good. When we're saying, "Lord, let the words of my mouth," following ones are not good ones. And I'm going to refer to Amy, Adam, and Ann for these. Actually, it'll be Adam first and Amy and Ann. Some descriptions of words used in Scripture that we really shouldn't have coming out of our mouth. There's destroying words. There's destroying words, words that are corrupting, as Colossians tells us, words that tear down other people, lying words, hurtful words, and hateful words. Hateful words are the words that I think of when Adam sinned in the garden. The Lord held him accountable. And the Lord said, "Adam, what have you done?" What was his words to God? "The woman that you gave me, it's her fault. It's her fault. I'm blaming her." Sometimes we can have hateful words, crushing words. Anne was a lady that I tried to sell a vacuum cleaner to. She and George. And as I was trying to sell a vacuum cleaner to Anne and George, George was getting right into the presentation. Man, I was sucking up dirt here, left, right, and yonder, man. I was sure I had me a sale going here. And Ann, as George kept getting into and enjoying the presentation, and he liked the smells the vacuum put out, rah, rah. And she finally said to him, she says, "George, would you be quiet?" And then she followed it up with, and here I am, I'm just watching. She followed it up with, "George, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to divorce you." Did you know, as an 18-year-old kid, I had the witness to see that Georgia's lights went off when she said that? He just put his head down. And you know, George hardly commented much the rest of the time. George, I'm going to divorce you if you don't stop. You know, sometimes words like that can be just meaning, just those putting someone in their place. Putting someone in their place. Proud words, it's all about me. Piercing and bitter words, angry words, critical words. This is where Amy comes in. Amy was a uni student with me at, and I was actually studying education. I was going to be a teacher at this point in my life. And I remember as I was doing my undergrad studies, I was in education classes with lots of ladies. And I was very easy to be mean to. I just had that, I had lots of things to pick on. And so this one young lady, this is a Christian university, and the Lord began to work in this young lady's heart through just her own Bible reading, through the messages, and through being at this Christian university, that she was a very mean person with her words. And I still remember Amy telling me something. She bit me, not technically, but she bit me with her words, not gossiped. She bit me with her words. And you know what she did? Just as soon as she bit me with her mean statement, she said this. She said, "Kelly, I'm so sorry." She said, "The Lord's working in my heart. I shouldn't have said that." And you know, sometimes it's just a matter of listening to ourselves. Paul says, be careful that you don't devour one another. Be careful that you don't try to in what you say one to another, that you don't so abuse one another that it's not okay. But I still remember her saying, you know, Kelly, I am working on my critical spirit. I'm working on the things that come out of my mouth. Will you forgive me? What about some words that are used that should be coming out of our mouths? First of all, there's instructive words. There's instructive words. Those words that we can say to others that help them along, that encourage them on the way, that we may, they just need a little bit of help keeping going. It may be someone that we can share the gospel to and with. Kind words. Things that we say that are nice, encouraging words. You think of the relationship between David and Saul's son. Saul's son was technically supposed to be the next king. But instead of being against David, Jonathan just kept on saying, he just kept on being David's friend. He said, we're best buds. I'll serve right beside you. You're going to be the king, and I'm going to serve right beside you. Nothing but encouraging words. Controlled words. sometimes, and did you know that as you read the Gospels, there's times when someone would say something to Jesus that he did not respond right there? Whether he was being baited into saying something wrong, or it just wasn't wise for him to speak exactly at that time. But you know, sometimes when you're having a conversation with someone, sometimes the wisest thing to do is to just think about what you're going to say. Or, better yet, if we need to, I'm a little bit frustrated right now, in all honesty. Can I get back to you in a little bit? Controlled speech. Saying those things that, instead of just going with the emotion of the time, gracious words. Gracious words, those that are kind, those that are seasoned with salt, as Paul said. Teaching words, nearly the same as instructive words, but basically us learning more about the Lord and sharing it with others. Patient words, when we may have a tendency not to be patient. Truthful words. And then wise words. These are the kind of things that are the things that we should pray. Lord, if I'm going to talk, Lord, help my speech to be controlled. And then he says, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. And then he says, and the meditation of my heart. The meditation of my heart. Does that mean that we're all supposed to go, how is it that you do that? The meditation of my heart. Does that mean we're all supposed to go around like this? Is that what we're supposed to do? Meditation of my heart. Is that what we're supposed to do? No. When he talks about the meditation of my heart, Christians are not to engage in the meditation of Eastern religions that involve emptying the mind that it may be filled with a kind of self-knowledge. Meditation is not giving free rein to your imagination. It's not just emptying yourself of everything. Meditation is the activity of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling on and applying to oneself the various things that one knows. There's some kind of meditation that we shouldn't be doing. In fact, the first one, there's destructive meditations, which is worry. Jim Berg says that meditation is not hard to understand. Anyone who knows how to worry knows how to meditate. Worriers are skilled in the meditation process, but are meditating on the wrong kind of thoughts. Well, what are they doing? When we're worrying, what are we thinking of? We're thinking of a particular thing. Lots of times we're imagining what's going to happen. But we've got something that some knowledge that we're thinking, well, how's this going to turn out? How's this going to turn? And we're turning it over in our brain. We're working it over. Let me ask you, are you a worrier? Are you a worrier? Are you one that just thinks about, well, what else could go wrong? One destructive kind is worrying. Secondly, obsession with failures of the past. Obsession with failures of the past. Anybody have a failure in the past? I love the fact Michael Jordan and professional basketball player when I was a kid. He says in one of the leadership books that I read, they have him quoting as saying, "You know what? I missed so many thousands of shots, but also hit a lot. Also hit thousands of shots." And you know, if he were to say, "Well, I've missed five this year. I'm not going to take any more," he wouldn't have been the man. Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind. And you know what? Sometimes, you remember in Genesis chapter 50 when the brothers, they went to Joseph and they said, "Joseph, Dad said for us to tell you that you got to forgive us." And do you remember back in Genesis 45, and I should have put that up there too, but Genesis 45, when Joseph was really tightening the screws on them, some of them were saying, "You know what? We knew we should have treated him better. We knew we did the wrong thing." Well, Joseph says to them in Genesis 50, he says, "Guys, don't be angry with yourselves. Don't be angry with yourselves. God sent you before me, or God sent me before you. It's really okay." Are we able to look at things that have happened in our past, and do we just dwell on them? Do we think, "You know what, I should have done this better. I should have done this. I should have done this. I should have done this." Are we there? That's destructive meditation. What about something that someone else did to us? If we think about something, somebody else's failure, and how it affected us, it's going to result in bitterness. Esau was bitter toward his brother. Esau was bitter toward his brother Jacob for stealing his birthright, Hebrews tells us. Wrongs done to you? Really, if when love, 1 Corinthians 13:5, it really doesn't keep count of how many times someone's hurt you. Whereas if we're going to meditate on, you've done that before. What are our kind of meditations? Let's go back to this. Sinful things. He says there in Proverbs, do you think you can take fire in your bosom and not be burned? You can't. So don't dwell on them. And then self-focus. All the inward self, just thinking about yourself, thinking about your own problems, thinking about your own successes, just everything about you. Now, I realize we do have to look after ourselves. Yes. Well, Philippians 2 says, be careful of making it all about you. Paul says it leads to danger. So our meditation, what is it? It should be his word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. We need to be in God's word. We need to allow it to change us, to make a difference in our lives. And can I ask that if you're reading your Bible and you get to a part that you don't understand, don't just quit reading. Keep going. It's amazing how often the Lord will eventually make something clear, or you'll hear a message on it, or you'll hear someone else talking about it. The Lord, it's amazing how the Lord helps clear things up like that. So keep putting His word in your head. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the see the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. Then we think about the works of the Lord. We think about his faithfulness, his goodness, and his care. And then Philippians 4:8 tells us to meditate on true things, honest things, just things, pure things, lovely things. If there's anything, if it has a good report, if it has good virtue or praise, think on these things. So a prayer for us to pray. I prayed this morning. I can really honestly say, I've never prayed that prayer before I got up to preach. The several of those that I read said that they pray this every time they get up to preach. Sounds good. So what is our surety? How are we going to be up to such a task? How are we going to make our words and our meditation acceptable in his sight? Depending on our Lord. He's the personal God, our strength, and our Redeemer. You know what? Can I ask? If you come short with your words this week, ask the Lord to forgive you. If you come short in your meditations this week, ask the Lord to forgive you. If you say words at work, at home, at school, to someone that the words aren't pleasant, may I just ask that you say, I said the wrong thing there. Will you please forgive me? Will you think about doing that? Because really, it helps us. It helps us, and then it helps them see, well, they don't think they're perfect, because they're not. And it just helps reset things. David says, you know what? Of all the things I could pray about, I think I need to pray about my words. I need to think about my meditation. I need to pray about my meditation. So this week, let's ask the Lord to help us with the things that we say and the things that we're thinking about. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can have you as our Lord and Savior. Thank you that you are our strength. Thank you that you are our Redeemer. Thank you that we do have help and hope in Christ. And I reckon each one of us let down in our words here, there, and yonder, but at the same time are able to say things that are encouraging, that are helpful, that are instructive. Maybe even sometimes we have to say things that are hard to say but are necessary. Lord, whatever it is that we need to say, give us the grace to do that. And it's hard, Lord, to watch our mouths. But Lord, help us this week, today, tomorrow, to commit our words and our thoughts to you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, our final hymn today is Take My Lips and Let Them Be. I think it's verse number 3 of Take My Life and Let It Be. But we're going to do one verse of that. If I can be of help to you, please let me know. And pray that prayer with me this week, that our words and our meditations will be pleasing in his sight.
Thank you, everyone. If you can stand, and we'll just do verse 3 of number 334. 393, sorry.
Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, not a mite would I withhold.
Thank you very much, everyone. God bless you all. You're now dismissed in God's loving care.